listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 16, Hair Color for Spring Coloring. Hi, I'm Christine.
And I'm Jorunn.
Did you know that every one of us has such perfect color harmony in our natural colors? They are so in sync with each other that they can be divided into groups. There's 12. We call them seasons. And you can find them mapped out with this and every podcast at chrysaliscolor.com. Each season has its own palette or booklet of colors that look awesome together and for people of that coloring group. And it is very useful to hold your colors in your hand when you're trying to choose a lipstick.
Or a hair color. Hair color is essential to get right. Choosing a hair color or highlights is just as hard as correcting an old color. The hard part is not finding that technically correct color, although that's hard enough sometimes. It's more about finding that new mindset that lets us move forward from a color we've had for a while. It takes energy to move from a standstill, much more than if something is already changing. Maybe that's why young people feel easier about changing hair color and everything else.
Yeah, there may be kind of an inertia that comes with the years. And I think you got to keep an eye on it. I don't resist change. I don't think. But I do resist this feeling that I'm always going back to the beginning and repeating the same job over and over, like having to choose a new hair color every 5 or 10 years. You'd think that as adults after 40, we could just settle on one color. But it's not true. We keep changing. Not in our own colors, they're constant over the years, but in how we use them. Either way, it takes energy to jump or propel forward, to reach that, you know, escape velocity where something that needs to change finally changes. The burst of energy, it could come from a new person, place, new information. I listen, and I know you do as well, Jorunn, to the podcast with Joe Polish at Genius Network. And in the episode recently on mindset, one of the presenters talked about how making big steps forward in anything needs both new information to come our way, but also a willingness to just accept that we've been wrong. In my life, the color consultation gave me the information to see who I was and who I could stop trying to be. And that gave me the launch energy to make a comprehensive appearance change instead of guessing at one thing and then guessing at another thing. But I had to bring the openness to a better choice.
Progress and appearance is not about right or wrong. You shouldn't use that word. We shouldn't use that word. Today's best color might not have been a good choice back when we started coloring. It's a constant journey of learning and adapting. It's kind of like running spell check in a document that you think is okay, completely okay, and you always, always find mistakes, even after you think you've checked it thoroughly. It's nothing personal, it's just pointing out better options. And Christine and I would never want our listeners to feel that we don't respect them or don't respect how hard making appearance choices in the modern world is. We always respect your journey. And speaking of respect, I want to say something that I've read somewhere, which I think a lot about. Respect is so important. It's just like air. And you know, air, when there's enough of it, you don't think about it, but if it isn't there, it's all you can think about. And I think respect is just like that. And we totally respect that there are some tough choices to be made in all kinds of areas of our lives these days. And I'm thinking like the slow fashion movement and the reaction to consumerism.
Yeah, you're entirely right, Jorn. Wrong is not a good choice of word. We're all finding ways of being better in a changing world. I read on CBC today, that's the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, about the pandemic and how the fashion industry is acknowledging or recognizing that the system is wasteful and maybe there will be benefits from the changes coming, like from the sudden drop in demand, at least in some sectors. I spoke with a colorist recently who's no longer dyeing her client's hair. She says they don't need the chemical exposure. She doesn't need it. And she also said, I mean, they don't even look better. So why am I doing this? You know, I've spoken to a few colorists who've acquired that energy to make the change in their business.
That's so nice. But we are realists. People aren't going to stop coloring their hair overnight. This is going to take time, and we're here to help people use color to look their best in clothes or hair.
We are. Indeed, we are. And I'm looking forward to talking about spring. Variations of beach blonde is an easier choice for these three types of coloring than any other season. Though nothing applies to everybody. Some springs, true, light, or brights, they're not blonde, they never were blonde, and they would not look as good with light or yellow, or both hair. Spring is also the person who may be able to use teenage hair color, if not childhood, to guide adult choices. This is something summers can do as well, whereas winters might not, as we said in the previous show, episode 15, about winter hair. And as with previous shows, we'll follow the order of true, light, and bright spring, dividing each into natural and chemical colors, and color to avoid.
Right. So Courtney, our mentor through these hair shows, is on hiatus, but we spoke with her before when planning these episodes, and we still rely heavily on her insight and examples in these shows. Courtney had lots of good stuff about spring hair, being a light spring herself, who prefers to color her hair. She says that she steers close to her 13-year-old hair color, the color that she had when she was 13 years old. She has no doubt that her natural gray will be light, and as a light, will be absolutely harmonious with her skin tone. Because she was never extremely blonde as a child, she likes the darker shade that her hair was at 13. Back in the 60s, the swinging 60s, she wanted to be a blonde like everyone else, and was a believable blonde. However, at 18, when she bought a darker wig, her classmates thought she had returned to her natural color. She played with Barbie doll blonde in her 40s, and looking back at those pictures, she can see the diminishment of her facial features. In fact, there was a boatload of dissonance in her appearance. Believing that she was a true summer and wearing that palette in clothing, against very blonde hair, set her up for her eventual personal color analysis, because nothing worked. When she eventually decides that her natural gray is the shade she wants to embrace, she says she's looking forward to seeing how her light spring palette in clothing will play with that change.
Courtney's fairly light now. Strawberry blondish. I think it suits her really well, better than I think yellow blonde would. The apricot tone is really pretty. And as you see from the blog posts linked in the show notes, her adult hair color was darker and a color I've seen a few times in light spring, a kind of dark peach. And you'll see there's some ginger there too. Okay, let's move into our seasons.
Yes, beginning with true spring, natural hair color of true spring. She's a warm blonde, perhaps, that doesn't darken a lot in maturity, but certainly may darken to light or medium brown. True springs can begin life with very light hair, sometimes something we see in winter and summer too, less in autumn, but they tend not to darken beyond medium as adults. The true springs. The quality of spring light is clear and often appears transparent as if it goes through leaves, like sea lettuce. Not suggesting green as a hair color, mind you. It's the effect that we're trying to have you imagine. The result is that the dark and light sides are close together in value, both luminous even in the darker areas, a landscape in which even the shadows receive sunlight. Some are natural red strawberries or could be light copper.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. There's an assumption, isn't there, that spring is blonde, but it's not accurate. No season is that automatic. And other people may see them as blue-eyed blondes their entire life, when actually they have turquoise or yellow-green eyes and their hair's been sandy brown for 10 years. Springs, mm-hmm. summers, they share a quality of overall lightness, meaning the lightest to darkest range is in the upper half or two-thirds of a white to black gray scale. And I think that's why many springs think they're summers and summers think they're springs. We're good at judging darkness by just looking at it. And we put way too much faith in it. And we dismiss the fact that we are hopeless at judging warmth just by looking. When you put color next to them in a testing situation, they light up in spring colors. Like the most flattering light just got switched on behind their face. Medium brown, or a color you might call medium dark brown. That happens too. Over hundreds of clients here in Canada, I've seen 5, maybe 6 true springs. I don't keep lists, and I'm sure there are places in the world an analyst would see many, but for sure I've seen more light and bright springs, and that's probably true anywhere since neutral seasons cover 3/4 of most populations across all 12 seasons. Neutral meaning a blend of 2 seasons in this context. Certainly this is how it's been for me. Trues are just less often seen, and I guess our global analyst community would agree with that. I'm trying to think of examples for you. In a world where so many celebrities are dyed blondes, and our tendency to see the large block of hair color as significant in deciding season, which it isn't, by the way, you may feel there are more springs in the world than there are.
Well, I see many more neutral seasons here in Norway too, and the same individual variation within seasons that we talked about with other seasons.
Yeah, but true springs. Sorry, I can't think of any celebrities. Maybe the late country singer Glenn Campbell. If you Google him in his younger years, you can see the darkness level. He may be in autumn, I don't know. And I don't want to get into celebrity examples because folks remember those images as typical for the group when the variation is much wider in the real world. Okay, true spring. How about chemical color?
Chemical color for true springs. Well, golden yellow highlights, if it can be a convincing blonde. Sandy brown hair accepts blonde quite beautifully. Darker or ginger tones might not be so successful in yellow or golden highlights. But I'm thinking it's important to keep in mind movement. This kind of makes springs the best seasons for highlights, because highlights are variations and movements, and it's so good on spring when they move their head, and it creates energy that fits the essence of spring, don't you think?
I do. I can picture what you're saying. Highlights can often look disorganized for autumns and winters. They carry single color well. Density, as a general term, could apply to color, texture, transparency. They do that well too, and they do calm quite well. Highlights can be gorgeous on those seasons, and they could be disruptive on certain springs. Just saying that they seem to have more reason for being there on springs, I think.
But always keep some of that base color visible. It's such a useful reference point over the years, and it keeps the look belonging with the woman. Her eyebrows, her clothing, and cosmetics. The darkest, not much darker than the lightest. This coloring is about the warmth of blonde, not the lightness of blonde.
I think it's more modern also to see the base color. and younger, because that's how sunshine would appear in a young head. Single color, well, it often reminds me of society ladies from an old movie, kind of like Doris Day.
Yes, exactly like Doris Day. So, well, anyway, teenage hair color might be a good highlight to go with the adult natural base, but not as an all-over color because we don't have our teenage skin anymore.
Yeah, the point, I guess, is go lighter without going cooler, meaning not ash blonde or the hair is going to look frosted. One of those dated looks that wouldn't capture the relief that just comes with something happening by itself, like it was meant to be. For the many springs who think they're summers, what can happen is clothing may be too cool and foundation as well. So then the hair starts looking warmer than it is and like autumn hair. But changing hair is not where your solution will be found. In fact, if you think that your natural hair color needs changing for a cosmetic or a garment to work, I promise you there is information missing from this picture. Your natural hair color, it's always right. Take another look at everything else that you're adding.
Exactly. Now, Courtney, she told us about a client of hers who's a true spring. It took a color analysis to convince her to stop wearing black. Her natural hair color is darker, and like so many of her generation, she believes that blonde hair was her birthright. A darker true spring gives up so much vibrancy when they favor black clothing and overly cool blonde highlights. That was the standard look in New York when she lived there. As her natural gray color has come in, and the blonde highlights have been toned down and warmed, the harmony of her natural skin tone and eyes has been so enhanced.
How about women who are not natural blondes, would not wear that look convincingly, but they want to color their hair, say to cover silver?
Well, anyone can use dye to enrich or restore natural color. Spring's essence is colorful, yet delicate. That's their unexpected magic. Dye brings color and they wear pigment well, but dusty color is draining and just stay out of autumn colors, which contain more red and tend to be darker. You don't want rust and you don't want weight and you don't want color that's too far from home. Force is not spring's look, so it would really stand apart. If you were red and want to stay that way, a good guideline would be to choose new penny over vintage penny red.
And if you think your natural silver or gray, however it decides to appear, is dusty, trust me, it's not. It will suit your eyes, skin, and wardrobe just fine. Like winters, don't avoid your colors in apparel and makeup in favor of hair dye. Springs usually don't. They wear many colors together so easily. They love celebrating color. They're naturally tuned to color. And they don't look like walking color wheels from, like I did from a comment I got 40 years ago and should have listened to. But don't be that mature spring woman who sees silver hair and thinks she needs to tone everything down. Don't be any mature woman who sees silver hair and thinks she needs to tone everything down. Leave your hair and dial the rest up, always in your palette, of course. True spring, color to avoid. I think we've said this, yarn, copper, rust, red, that become heavy and dark, unless the hair is naturally red, of course. But if you want to enhance that with chemical coloring, be sure to keep it in the peachy strawberry red realm of spring, not the darker squash of autumn.
Also, avoid anything ash like the plague, which we said before, because you're not a summer and it will look gray, dusty, and boring. And to repeat, she identifies as a blonde, was blonde as a child, and still wears the color easily. Returning to single color natural brown may feel unexciting or too sudden a change for you and the people in your life. So try it as low lights, not too dark for the varied tones that look terrific on springs. Having natural color visible is what makes the highlights shine, looks natural and therefore younger, and connects your hair back to you. Avoid highlights that are too light, too cool, or too many, meaning one big highlight, and practice restraint.
Yeah, good point. Springs love highlights, and they're, it's fine, but after there's too many highlights, the point isn't being made anymore. The message isn't coming across the way it could. Okay, light spring. Natural color. Light springs are often where the natural blondes in adulthood live, but they darken in maturity, we all do. And the adult hair is often sandy blonde to light blonde. Natural colors often, I would say, in the realm of ginger ale. Might look ash brown, but stand them next to a summer's ash brown and you'll feel a definite stronger presence of yellow. On my website, you can see a draping demo. The model is a light spring, and that's her natural hair color. It's so yellow. I mean, it's tipping into peachy orange, actually, paired with green and yellow eyes. She looks like a spring. Nobody would guess her to be anything else. But true spring's actually a little too much for her. It's a little too bright and a little too dark. She settles like a vision in light spring color.
I think of saltwater taffy when I see some of the warmer blonde light springs. One of my daughters-in-law is a light spring, and she's a natural blonde, and she reminds me of vanilla ice cream with butterscotch streaks in the underneath layers when where the sun hasn't bleached it.
Yeah, some are darker, like Courtney's dark peach, often paired with clear light eyes, and many have beige blonde hair, very much like light summer, but just a little warmer. For those who look light in their colors and actually test as light seasons, I wonder about Martin Clunes, who plays Doc Martin in the BBC TV series. So you get a sense of how different people can look, yet they all react to color in the same way. What about chemical color choices for light spring?
Well, for light spring, I would say gentle highlights. Lighter tips, maybe, like when your sun-bleached hair from last summer hasn't been cut away yet. Lower half of hair blonde and a caramel taffy kind of grows out of hair. I'm not sure that any hairstylist or colorist could recreate it because it's very subtle. The difference is so subtle. She reads as a blonde, and the colorist's effect is often too obvious. Usually too light and too cool, and it might look artificial, so be careful.
Yeah, the highlight, it's a little too obvious. You can draw around the highlight. There's springs and highlights that contrast too much, like zebras and tigers. It's the opposite of genuine. I'm sincere. I'm looking for a way to say sweet and natural. Artificial can be okay when it looks like fun or movement, say plastic beads, but hair isn't the place for artificial, and force is not an easy effect on spring. Natural just works better. It can look kind of like heavy boots. You know, your feet are stuck here and the rest of you is someplace else. So you and your appearance disconnect.
Mm. But if you stand in the shoes of someone meeting you for the first time, they see a form of subtlety that speaks of a quieter vivaciousness. They see pleasant and charming, nothing bold or punchy in your natural colors or in you. The wearing true spring color, a light spring might feel conspicuous, and the summer in her may cause her to choose autumn and summer colors instead. But don't do that. Subtle, in the sense of well-behaved optimist, that supports the natural movement and light-hearted energy of light spring.
Yellow highlights, sure, if it works. But of all the springs, the darkest colors and the lightest colors are the closest together here in light spring. Back to your leaf analogy, Joran, where the light just goes right through. Keep the yellow warm enough to flatter the skin and not so light that it looks white.
Yep. That's true. Not icy, because that looks frozen and hard.
Yeah, not the whole head as one solid color of light blonde. because it looks like a wig. And on a young person, it's dated. It's like looking like your mom. These folks are fun and bubbly. They are never severe.
But be careful of adding red unless you're already a strawberry blonde, kind of like Courtney that we described earlier. Then you would recreate the gentle peachy strawberry quality kind of red, perhaps in a lighter version that still looks lovely with the palette, suits the new age and allows silver to arrive unnoticed so she can transition when she wants.
Appearance on our terms. I love it. And I agree, this is a season of subtlety and fun at the same time. And chemical red, well, can be overkill on a coloring that needs a light, light touch. It kind of looks tough. That light spring is never that. Okay, what to avoid? What's a light spring going to avoid in hair color?
Well, I would say to avoid darkening your color if you're light-haired. A light-haired spring, light spring. Not that I think anyone might want to do that if they're lucky enough to be born with naturally blonde hair and everyone and their uncle are bleaching their hair because they want their hair blonde, but it's worth saying. Sometimes I have a feeling that everybody wants what they don't have. So just in case you're a light-haired light spring, don't even think about going darker. Also, if you're a light spring with naturally dark hair, don't think that you have to go blonde in order to express your light spring essence. You can do that beautifully by keeping the glossy, medium sandy hair color and expressing a very exotic version of your season by using clothes and accessories in the light spring colors.
To me, there is something exquisite in this coloring that I find honored more with natural colors. With one more head of highlights and the rare becomes the generic. Besides that, I think you said it here, Yoren. The only thing I'd add is avoid extremes of any sort. Light to dark, warm to cool, bright to soft. For all three of those scales or ranges, the setting for light spring is kind of near the middle, which your color analyst can explain to you in more detail.
Yep. Good point. If the identity is not blonde, leave it. If it's cinnamon peach or apricot rose, really leave it. It often combines with very light eyes, and oh boy, it's lovely.
I think Brad Pitt could be a light spring. If you Google his hair color over the years, my opinion, highlights that are too yellow, too solid, too light, just don't do him any favors. Bleach is downright severe. Leaving some dark hair with highlights looks better than one solid highlight. So within the looks that you like, well, decide what it is you like about it. Maybe ask yourself, would today's best hair color be the same as color for Brad of 20 years ago? Is there a point where highlights are obvious? And does it matter to you if your highlights are easy to see or not see? These are all personal preferences that we decide for ourselves. As you think about his hair and you look at the pictures, let me ask you this. Are you looking at his hair or at his face? Because here's a tip. You should be looking at his face.
Yes, really. When we walk into a room or a party or a cafe, we don't want people looking at our hair.
Yeah, or trying not to.
Yes.
I don't know about our listeners, but that happens to me. Not being judgy. It's just the spinach, right? I would want to know. All right, moving. Next season, bright spring, natural color. Yeah, bright spring, a most delicate color balance. And there's still spring. So lightness is an overall feature. It's just that the light to dark spread is wider because winter's influence has arrived.
Right. Bright springs are twinkly people. Many are not intense or have bright hair per se, like many bright winters don't have those legendary clear eyes. And don't expect to know by looking because you can't.
No, you can't. You might think there's summers sooner than other seasons just at a glance, because if the hair is medium sandy brown and they have blue eyes, people see lightness. They think it's summer and they want to put them in pastels. Mm-hmm. You may see caramel blonde brown hair. That happens for sure with eyes to match. Or redder cider brown hair with eyes to match. And in both, folks may think autumn. And some are very light Nordic blondes. No other hair color is going to make that better. You can see Johanna on the front page slider of Chrysalis Color, draping the lovely woman with the red hair in the braid. The word icy could apply, but they're warmer than that when their colors are compared to calibrated colors, which is what testing means, or analysis. With intensely aqua eyes, the impression can be cool, but you need that analysis to know the order of what matters or what's the priority of importance about their colors. For bright spring, first it's pure color, then it's warm color, and then kind of whatever for light and dark, because the options are pretty wide.
And for some, root beer would be a fair description of the hair color, warmer than the cooler, bluer, dark browns of the bright winters. Some, especially with Asian influence, Indonesian, even Caribbean influence, hair can be quite dark, as can eyes.
Let's think about the chemical colors options for bright spring. There are many unique hair colors here, and the colors are magically coordinated with eyes. Not necessarily the same, they just look amazing together. So if your hair color is colorful, someone would not be likely to describe it as sandy brown. Leave it. Nature does an awful lot that it just can't be improved upon with chemistry, and hair color in the bright seasons is one of them. There's a quote by Buckminster Fuller that comes to mind, and something to the effect of, I'm not trying to imitate nature. I'm trying to figure out how it works. And for the bright seasons, boy, nature has it figured out. I don't know that hair chemistry is going to do any better. Don't darken your hair. Avoid heavier, solid looking hair. This is another season. Like bright winter, leave your hair color the way it is. Now, for those whose hair could be called a kind of uniform medium brown, and, you know, the woman is determined that she's going to color it, she may experience that same conflict as bright winter. She wants excitement and lift and energy in appearance. She knows she carries it well. She's almost afraid of drab. She wants overt color over implied color any day. Just still think twice and then think again, because what nature gave her is so particular that dye might end up masking it rather than enhancing it.
She has some winter in her coloring and those large areas of neutrals that pave the way for the jewel and tropical colors apply here as well as in a more relaxed, in the meaning colorful, adaptation. Sisters, let me make life easier. Leave your hair, wear your palette, amp up your makeup and jewelry as much as you choose, and trust that you're there.
I think we've got plenty of bright winters here in Prince Edward Island with the Scottish and the Celtic ancestry. Red variations in hair and intensely turquoise or emerald eyes. Very porcelain skin, freckles. I mean, they're just amazing people to look at. And so the woman lives in Eastern Canada, has never really thought about what her coloring could do, takes one look at the makeup and thinks, no way, I am not going there. And if we're being honest, it might not be entirely accepted in this community. It might be seen as showy, might be seen as attention seeking. Don't worry. Look, we're going to make this work. We can use sheer color, and having your natural hair color can often be a real plus for making your colors and clothes and makeup feel much easier for you.
Well, I can relate, because being seen as showy or attention seeking is definitely a no-no, a big no-no in Norwegian culture. However, I find that mostly, in my experience, it's the bright winters that shy away from that bright lipstick, especially lipstick. also colorings in clothing, but the bright springs, I know, they're usually a lot less frightened when shown their best lipstick colors. The bright winters are like, whoa, whoa, back it up, lady. Let's bring it down a notch or 10. But the bright springs, they say, oh, yay, and then they skip happily along with it. Such a big difference between the two bright seasons in this respect. At least that's my experience with the clients I've seen.
Me too. Me too. I entirely agree. I have the same experience. Springs, and they have this love of color. It's like they can't get enough. And once you describe the concept, they know they have colorful eyes, that they've known that most of their life. They've been told this over and over. So once you describe the idea that you want lips to balance eyes, they get it and they're on their way.
Right. So let's bring it back to dye, hair dye, because there is a way to go about it. Just don't deviate too far from your natural color. Blonde may be fine for a medium brown hair if the woman could be flattered by blonde. Choose a color that would slide into your palette easily, because that's what the hair color will be seen with. Still spring, so warm, delicate, and exquisite colors. Avoid bold or cold, like bleach. Your wardrobe is the place for those extreme color additions. And be certain to leave some natural color visible. Bright spring has the widest light dark range of the springs, and that darkness is essential to sculpt and cylindrize the face, which we all want, and the silhouette. Mm-hmm.
Yes, rose gold, light copper, clear coral highlights. They can often be better than traditional blonde. They wear those easily. Eyeshadows, jewelry, very easy for them. And traditional blonde, it may be too dull, it may be too warm. But those colors are a fantasy look. And even more so when they're done as solid colors, they can take too much attention away from the eyes and make for too much color effect when the so beautiful clothing is added to the overall look. And so the woman backs off clothing when it's actually the hair that could be a little bit less colorful. If I had to pick two between bright color, bright makeup, or bright clothes, I'd pick clothes and makeup. Why two? Because they're springs and color looks fantastic. To a point, the more they wear, the better they look. To a point. Winter's restraint and ability to turn neutral colors into power is here too.
Spring is the season for fun and glisten. Keeping to threads of blonde, rose gold, or whatever works with a variety of natural base colors. Like with light spring, if you're naturally light, don't darken it. Yellow highlights that work with the base might be good. Again, the vivaciousness of the spring seasons can support gentle highlights because it brings movement and energy.
And I'd like to put in a vote for shine treatments. Gleam, pearlized effects, they're easy. Where shine looks natural because it reflects the way the light is reflected from the skin. Whereas on autumn, that same effect might look oily in hair or skin. More information about that you can find in the skin polish posts I've linked in the show notes. And there are similar posts for the other seasons too that address the natural reflectivity of the colors, be they in skin or hair. As a last note, think about leaving the texture of your hair the way it is. How color and shine appear depend a lot on texture, whether it's hair or fabric or any material. And our natural hair texture is part of how we're so perfectly put together. Adding curls to wavy hair, well, fine. Adding more of what you are is the recipe for appearance success. But what I mean here is don't straighten textured hair to force it to shine, because it separates the hair from the person. It creates that mechanical impression that doesn't tend to play so well on spring. All right, what colors to avoid for bright spring? What would you say, Joren?
Well, I would say something we've said before, but I'd like to repeat it, that it's important to not darken your hair. just avoid darkening it, and also avoid heavy or solid looking hair. Bright spring is another season that could benefit really well from leaving hair color as is. And avoid solid hair color. Bronze, copper, anything heavy and autumn-like is also nice to avoid. So that's what I would say.
It's interesting to me, I'm thinking as you're talking about how women can be so determined to change hair color, and yet hair color is expensive to change. It is hard to maintain. It is very hard to predict. Whereas changing clothing and makeup is relatively easy, and yet that's the one that women resist more. So just to summarize what to avoid for bright spring, well, you remember we said the color priorities for this type of coloring. First, the colors are bright, they're pure pigment. Second, most important, they're warm or fairly warm. Third, most important, light to dark, but the range is wide and the woman will fall somewhere in between that. It's pretty forgiving. So what do you avoid? Those in the reverse order. You do not want soft, sub-in, dusty, muted, opaque, thick, anything that reduces the purity or the transparency of the color. Second thing to avoid, too cool. And the third thing to avoid is getting too far from the natural darkness level. Because as Joran said, you got to have that darkness level, one, for your eyebrows to make sense, and two, to give a shapely contour to the face and the body.
Right. So let's move on to silver hair for springs. And what comes to mind is sparkling cream to pale gold. We covered this in an earlier episode, and we should possibly revisit this again about the warm seasons and how they go gray. Not going gray like winters with sparkly glints of bright silver suddenly appearing, but more of a gradual softening of the hair color until it's reached its version of silver. Do you agree, Christine, that this is a good way to describe how springs go gray?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Springs do things more gradually than winter. The ends are closer together to start with. I think silver just slides in, whether it comes in as sparkling cream or pale gold or threads of silver. For bright spring, it's often silver and it looks clean, bright, and crisp.
What do springs need to know, to think about if they want to go from chemically colored hair to their natural silver?
Yeah, well, if the color's close to home, I think leave it. And if not, maybe a light sandy brown or somewhere between the color you had at 40 and silver to bridge the gap, which is what Courtney's doing. I think she started with her 40 or 45-year-old color, looked at her silver, went in between, so the silver just comes in easily. Maybe we could close our show today with another provocative conversation the way we did for winter. Something about appearance and hair brings these up to the surface. One thing I love about our show is how we can be ourselves. It's rare for women to hear A, honest talk about appearance, B, from women whose aspirations are not about being seductive or flashy, and C, a conversation that relates appearance to how we live in the world. I mean, what about our beauty and our function together, never mind our cars and our clothing and everything else? I heard an audio recording of David Kibbe once. He wrote a brilliant style book in the late 80s. I think it was called Style Metamorphosis. I'll find it and I'll link it in the show notes. He seemed to be at a seminar and he sounded like a really straight up guy. And he was saying, yeah, you know, monochromatic outfits, they don't make short people look taller. Maybe if they're standing in a room by themselves. So real talk from a person who can see other people in the context of everyone else, which is how others see us. But the appearance industry rarely does it? They tend to isolate us from other people.
Yes. Well, speaking of provocative conversations, I'm very excited about a book I discovered lately and about the appearance industry. I'm reading this book by Malcolm Gladwell called What the Dog Saw. I haven't gotten to the dog chapter yet because being obsessed with hair color, I skipped straight to the chapter called True Colors, Hair Dye and the Hidden History of Postwar America. It's just brilliant. And I'm going to tell you about it because I can't stand to keep it inside.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Our readers are going to love, our listeners are going to love this.
I know. He starts off by telling the story of Shirley Polykoff. Who was Shirley Polykoff? I had no idea until I read this. Have you ever heard of Shirley Polykoff?
I have not. No, I have not. Not till you told me about her.
God, she was an amazing woman. Kind of larger than life persona, doing whatever the beep she wanted. God, reading the description of her, I'm like seeing her as kind of like an Edith Apfel of the 50s, because this was in the 50s. You with me? The grand era of housewives. And there she is, never done more than 2 weeks of housewifing in her entire life as a wife and mother, career woman to the bone, chemically blonde to the roots, and a copywriter. And she was given, and now comes the juicy part, she was given the account of Clairol, 1956. So this is the age of, well, the days when going blonde was something that only chorus girls and hookers did. And Clairol was about to launch a new product, the first do-it-yourself wash and rinse hair color that women could do at home. It was a sensation. They demonstrated this at hair stylist conferences and had to rinse the models' hairs on stage with buckets because the hairdressers in the audience, they refused to believe there wasn't some tomfoolery or trickery secretly going on backstage. Anyway, so Shirley Polykoff, being who she was, blonde, came up with a slogan, does she or doesn't she? Very famous slogan, referring to the totally believable shades that they were telling women that they were getting. And so started an amazing marketing campaign for hair coloring. Blonde in particular. Clairol took off, hair coloring took off. Between the late 50s and the early 70s, the percentage of women who colored their hair went from 7 to more than 40%. Ha! The power of good copywriting, right? But wait, there's more. Shirley Polykoff also invented the slogan, is it true that blondes have more fun? And if I've only one life, let me live it as a blonde. Anyway, so it really took off. So blonde was no longer reserved for the glamorous divas, but Clairol fronted that hair color was going blonde. Hair color and going blonde, I mean, was also for the respectable women, the mothers, the girl next door. And the ads had regular women that were just a little prettier than your wife or who lived in a slightly nicer house than yours. So these campaigns set the sales numbers of Clairol through the roof. But wait, there's even more. I'm not done yet. Along came L'Oreal, who wanted to challenge Clairol's position in the market. Long story short, what they did was bring in another dimension into the advertising. Clairol, they upheld that hair color was something you did for others. The jealous mother-in-law who asks, does she color her hair or doesn't she? And the ads with a proud husband showing off his bottle blonde wife. And now L'Oreal's copywriter, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, but I think it's something like Elon Specht. She, very strong woman, by the way, fantastic. The way Malcolm Gladwell describes her in the chapter is fabulous. She came up with the now so famous slogan, because I'm worth it. See what they did there? They changed it from something you do for others to something you do for yourself. It's genius. And this happening in the years between Eisenhower and Carter, beginning in the golden age of the housewife, or the big age, the late 50s, through women's lib, women entering the workforce, sexual emancipation, taking the pill, and becoming CEOs. The advertising mirrors the historical development of women, and becoming blonde as part of first being the perfect housewife, sweet girl next door, to being the empowered, strong woman who deserves it all, was all part of advertising campaigns to get women to make themselves over, using hair color as what Malcolm Gladwell calls useful fiction to play a part, looking the part without being the part. And he writes that Clairol and L'Oreal managed to attach a message to a $5 bottle of hair dye. It's brilliant. Anyway, so that chapter in Malcolm Gladwell's book ends with a disclosure that Shirley Polycoff revealed at her retirement party, 1973. Now, this is a spoiler alert, so if you want to read that chapter and not know the end of it, close your ears. She actually herself wrote a lot of those letters of praise to Clairol, including a success story of a woman whose boyfriend proposed to her after she went blonde. Anyway, so long story, I recommend getting the book and reading the chapter, or the whole book actually, it's really worth reading. But I find it fascinating how big a role good copywriting and advertising is playing in shaping and expressing worldviews and events, and that one flamboyant woman's obsession with blonde had so much influence on hair coloring.
Yeah, I mean, fascinating is an understatement. And probably to what was going on in the world, not just how they presented an idea and maybe manipulated a perception, you know, the cleverness of advertising, but also that there was a very receptive audience at that time in the world. And I like this story too, because I have always wondered where our love for blonde came from. How did it start? So now I know, and thank you, Joran, for sharing it. And thank you to our listeners. We look forward to the next and final installment of the Hair Color podcast, where we will delve into Hair Color for Autumns. Bye, Joran. Bye, everyone.
Bye.